Do you believe in Mount Everest? Do you believe that such a place actually exists? Some of you may have been fortunate enough to visit that place, to have seen the mountain yourself, to have touched the ground yourself, and in your case, you know that it is there. I, however, have not had that pleasure, but I do believe that it is there. I've seen pictures of it. I've seen it on television. I have seen interviews of those who have gone to the top of it. Because I have that evidence before me, I do believe that it is there. Faith based on reliable, reasonable evidence. Is that any different than what God requires of us today? None of us have seen God or touched God. However, we do have evidence, evidence of His existence. Because of that, He expects us to believe. Not a blind faith, but a faith built upon the evidence, evidence He has provided. Today I want to ask the question, do you believe, specifically, do you believe in Jesus? The Bible tells us that He's real, and we're going to look at that today as we study God's truth for the world.
Paul Meacham, Jr.
Thank you, Jim, and we thank each of you for joining us today for this period of Bible study. I do encourage you to take your Bible and open it to John chapter 9, and we will turn to that text in just a moment. We have the opportunity of reading God's Word, and reading it with knowledge, reading it with understanding, reading it in such a way that we can learn what God has revealed to us and know what we should do in response to His will. The Bible provides for us many things. It gives us great comfort by telling us what will happen in the future. It gives us strength by helping us deal with the problems of the present. It gives us understanding by pointing back and explaining to us things that have happened in the past. But one of the greatest things the Bible does is to provide for us the needed evidence, reasonable, logical evidence that makes it possible. In fact, even requires us then in response to that evidence to believe in Jesus of Nazareth. I ask you the question today, do you believe in Jesus? And I would like to structure our study in this way. Jesus asked that question in one form or another four different times as He walked on this earth. I would like to examine those and ask ourselves the same questions. In John chapter 9, beginning in verse 34, we find a man that has been healed. He was blind from birth and Jesus healed him. He was then brought before the leaders of the synagogue, and they wanted him to blaspheme against Jesus. They wanted him to give the credit to God, but to say that Jesus had no part in it, that Jesus himself was a sinner. This man could not say that. The evidence to him was so strong that he had to believe that Jesus did in fact come from God. When he chastised the rulers of the people, they said, "You were completely born in sins, and are you teaching us?" And they cast him out. They banished this man from the synagogue and the temple and from their society. When Jesus heard that they had cast him out, he found him, and he said to him, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe in him?" And Jesus said to him, "You have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you." Then he said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped him. Do you believe in this same Jesus? Do you believe that He is, in fact, the Son of God? That He was not just a good man, or not just a prophet of God, but the Son of God? Faith in Jesus can lift us up when all others have struck us down. This man had been banished by his society. He now is an outcast. Even his parents had abandoned him. When the leaders of the temple were questioning him, they brought his parents before him. John chapter 9, beginning in verse 20, we read, "We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind, but by what means he now sees, we do not know, or who opened his eyes, we do not know. He is of age, ask him, he will speak for himself." His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if anyone confessed that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." His parents were not honoring him by saying he is able to answer for himself, but rather they were abandoning him. They did not want to be put out of the synagogue. They did not want to be set apart from society. Therefore they were abandoning him and causing him to answer for himself. if we believe that Jesus is in fact the Son of God, as he proved by the miracle that he did for this man in John chapter 9, then that faith can help to lift us up, even when all others abandon us. In Matthew chapter 9, we have another account of Jesus asking a similar question. Here we find that as Jesus departs, there are two blind men that follow him, crying out and saying, "Son of David, have mercy on us." And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, let it be to you." And their eyes were opened. Do you believe that Jesus can heal you? Jesus at this time healed these people of a physical problem. He gave them their sight, as he had for the man in John chapter 9. The healing that we need, however, is a much more important healing. We need a spiritual healing. We all need to be healed from the sickness of sin. The Bible often uses the language of illness and the need for healing to represent spiritual sickness that sin brings. In Jeremiah chapter 8, beginning in verse 20, the prophet said, "The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the hurt of the daughter of my people I am hurt. I am mourning. Astonishment has taken hold of me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is there no recovery for the health of the daughter of my people?" There was healing available to God's people if they would repent and turn back to him. However, they went stubbornly in their own way. They continued to go after the idol gods of the nations around them. And eventually, God sent them off into Babylonian captivity. Jeremiah knew that there was healing available. There was a physician. That great physician of all time is Jesus. In Luke chapter 5, beginning in verse 9, we find that one named Levi gives a great feast in his house. And there were a great number of tax collectors and others who sat down with them. And the scribes and the Pharisees complained against his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Jesus is that great physician of all time, for he heals the spirit from the malady of sin. Jesus can take our sins away, and will do so when we come to him in obedience, based upon his law and his terms. A third time that Jesus asked a very similar question was when he was introduced to a man named Nathanael. We find that Nathanael comes to him, and Jesus, as he sees this man coming to him, says, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit." John chapter 1, beginning in verse 47. Nathanael was amazed at this, and he asked how Jesus knew his name. Jesus mentioned that he could even see him under a fig tree before Philip had brought him to him. Jesus had the ability to see what was not immediately before him, to see the future and to see the past. He asked this man, "Do you believe because I tell you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." We need to understand that God does see the future. And I ask you today, do you believe that Jesus knows the future? Looking to the future is a mark of wisdom. Moses said back in Deuteronomy chapter 32, beginning in verse 28, that they were a nation void of counsel, nor was there any understanding in them. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. We must look to the future, yet none of us knows the future, so how can we do that? We can only do that by looking to Jesus. He has told us already things that will happen in the future. I'm not talking about like a mystic or looking in a crystal ball, but Jesus has told us real things that will happen, things of great importance about the end of time, the judgment day, and the eternal destiny of man's soul, whether we are raised in that resurrection unto life, or unto death, based upon the life that we live here. Because of this, we can know what the future holds. We can know in the general sense that the future holds victory for all those who believe in God and obey Him. John wrote in 1 John 5, beginning in verse 3, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. It's very interesting that this passage ties together love of God and keeping his commandments and being born of God. We cannot have one of those things without the other, for we cannot say that we love him and then fail to keep his commandments. Keeping the commandments demonstrates the love that we have for him, John 14 and verse 15. And if we keep his commandments, we are born of God, for his commands teach us to be born again, John chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. It also ties together victory and faith. For without faith, we will not do those things that will bring us to the point of victory. Do you believe that Jesus knows the future? It's the only look that we have at the future. It amazes me how many people will read their horoscopes, ask someone to read their palm, call someone on the psychic hotline, ask someone to look into their future who has no power to do so, yet reject the Bible where Jesus has revealed for us future events that are important to each and every one of us. A fourth time, and finally, when Jesus asked a question similar to this, is in John chapter 11, beginning in verse 25. Here Jesus, speaking to the sister of Lazarus, says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, yet he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? The question for us is, do you believe Jesus can give you life? If you do believe that, does the way that you live show people that you believe Jesus is going to give you life? And I'm talking about eternal life. John 8, verse 24, Jesus said, Therefore I said to you, you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. There is death awaiting some, but it need not be for you or for me. The Bible teaches us what to do in order to be saved. We need to have a faith built upon the evidence that the Bible has given, and a faith that will cause us to repent, to confess Him, to be baptized in water, and to live faithfully. If we do, then Jesus will heal us. Jesus, who knows the future, will give us that future victory. Jesus will give us life. Do you believe that He can do that? And if you believe, will you not obey?